welcome to Young Family Sunday, and for some of you, maybe welcome to being a part of the Young Families Ministry. We're glad you're here. Going to have a fun time this morning. I think you're probably here this morning. Maybe you thought, you know, we just connect with some other young families. Maybe you saw the people that would be sharing this morning. You're like, oh, they're great. I want to hear what they have to say, right? But I'll bet all of us think, on some level at least, we want our kids to think about other people. We want our kids to think for other people, for the good, for the benefit of others. And that's incredibly hard to do with sinful people like you and me and our kids who are little mirrors of us and our sin. And so we're gonna dive into this a little bit this morning. Here's what I don't want this to be, okay? What I don't want this to be is one more thing you come to, a program, a teaching, an equipping, whatever, and you walk away like, great, one more thing, one more way that I'm not a good Christian, right? I'm very aware that it can begin to feel that way, right? It can begin to feel that, you know, the messaging from the front, wherever, whatever room it may be, wherever the front may be, right, can sort of feel like, hey, need to be doing this. Oh, and you need to be doing this. Oh, and you need to be doing that. In what time are you going to get all of these things done? It's just one more way that, man, I don't really know how this is going to work out. And you're just telling me that one more way I'm a bad Christian. I want us to be a moment where we think on, wow, we've been given much in the gospel. And so let's intentionally plan out. Let's think a little bit. How could we simply begin to live this out with our kids in such a way where we are, those who are forgiven much, forgive much, right? Those who are loved much, love much, where we just simply take some steps in that direction. So let me pray for us to that end. And Deborah, Polly, Drew, why don't y'all come on up, and we'll get started here. Lord, thank you so much for time to gather together and think intentionally about our families. We love you. We're so thankful for you and that you have given yourself to us in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that this would be a moment for us to just think a little more deeply about what that means, about what that means for us individually, about what that means for us as families. Lord, would you work in the hearts of our kids? Would you work in our hearts as we seek to shepherd our kids? Would you work through our families? Might each family here be a little conduit of grace out into our neighborhoods, our communities, our gyms, our coffee houses, our workplaces, and those places where you might call us to serve? We pray these things and expect that you would answer them, not because we're good people, but because Christ is and we are in him. Amen. All right. Okay, we got an extra chair. What? Oh, is Grace here? Laura here. Yeah, Laura, come on up. Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. And we got one mic for you guys to share. All right. There we go. Y'all, thank you so much for being here this morning. I love to rope people into my young family stuff, and so that I'm not the only one up here yakking. Why don't we do this? Introduce yourselves a little bit and tell us about your family. Unfortunately, because of we hit some snags this morning, technically, and so we do not have pictures of your family up here. But we have Pope kids here, so you can wave. How about that? Warners, why don't y'all start since you've got the microphone?
Sure. I'm Drew. We live in Sugar Hill. I've been around Perimeter since 98, been on staff since 2002. I'm an area pastor for Suwanee Sugar Hill Buford, so some of y'all I know, some of you I don't, but anyway, I'll let Laura talk about our family.
Okay, I'm Laura. And
you're on the spot.
I was actually on staff here for about 9 years before Grace was born. We have Grace, she's 14 and a half-ish. She's a freshman at Lanier High School. And then we have Micah, who is 9. He's in 4th grade here at Perimeter.
I'm Deborah Potter. I've been on staff for over 14 years. I'm married to Todd for 18, And we live in Sugar Hill. You don't have to move to Sugar Hill to be on Mission for God. No,
that is good to know.
And we have a daughter who's 12 at Lanier Middle School.
Okay. And did you say what you do on staff?
Oh, I'm in community outreach.
Community outreach. Yeah. So Deborah directs the community outreach ministry. Did you say that you were?
Area pastor.
Area pastor. Okay.
But he's so much more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Community outreach, live, work, play, all kinds of fun stuff before that. Okay.
Okay, I'm Polly Pope. I do not live in Sugar Hill. I live in Peachtree Corners. I have three little boys that are over there. They are 4, 6, and 8, so I feel like we are out of the diaper, naps, all of that phase, which everybody says, you know, it goes by so fast. And when I had young babies and all that, I'm like, no, it doesn't. But we're here. We made it. So, I stay home full time, and Dave's my husband in the back. And two of our kids are at the school here.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all for being here. Everybody here on stage is here because I've seen a little bit of how they've tried to serve with their families. And some of y'all may have done plenty of things like this as well. But just thought, man, these would be some great perspectives to have in the room for us to consider and think about. So let me ask this question first. I know the answer for at least one of you, but how have you felt pressure, perhaps, right? I mentioned, you know, sometimes you hear from the front, you're supposed to be doing X, and it just feels like, oh, gosh, I don't measure up to that. Have you experienced things like that? If not, you don't have to make anything up.
Okay, I'll start since I'm holding the mic. I'll pass it down. But I was thinking about this question. I can't say that I have always felt pressure I have felt pressure, yes. I will say when I have acted out of pressure, it has always ended very poorly for my family, for myself, for the whole serving experience. So, for example, I'll never forget a couple years ago, Community Outreach offered just a Christmas serving opportunity at a local church in Norcross. And my kids were 1, 3, and 4. It was like a rainy Wednesday night. And I'm like, all right, we're doing this. So I loaded everybody up. One couldn't even walk. Dave was still at work. So I was just by myself and ended up, you know, we were supposed to bag popcorn and hand it out to the kids that were waiting in line to pick up their Christmas toys. And so, of course, naturally, my kids just eat the popcorn. It's spilling. You know, I'm stressed. Where'd my baby go? You know, and so I just remember that was a learning moment for me to say, you know, this is a good thing, but this is the wrong time for us. Mm. And a good thing at the wrong time, like you might have heard before, is still the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So I would just say I have learned over the years to use wisdom in what we say yes to and what we say no to. So.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that 100%. So I follow Drew in Community Outreach, who is this super extrovert and like loves to be with as many people as possible. And so I kind of thought in my own personal ministry, since we live in Sugar Hill, that I too needed to gather as many people as I could around. And I just couldn't. And it was so painful. And it just was like, you know, when it doesn't fit you. Mm. And so, yeah, I felt a lot of pressure. But also just in general, when I came to Perimeter before I was on staff, I became a believer at Perimeter the very first time we visited. But it just seemed like Christians just do all these wonderful things. And I just felt like I wouldn't even be a Christian if I didn't serve and do all these things. And I tried to do all the things. And I like completely burned out. I found my niche, but it wasn't like instant. And I just, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things, like you said, that seemed really good at the time, but just weren't made for my unique design. So, yeah.
Well, I would say sometimes we say no to the community outreach serving things here at the church.
That's allowed.
Which we love, and my kids love. I mean, like, kids are always like, let's go pack backpacks. I'm like, no, we're not going to pack backpacks. Because we've already done all these other things in our community this week. And, you know, just kind of, but they're great things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, well, we really should go do that. It'd be a great opportunity to interact with other people and to be at the church and for the kids to see our church doing these things. But it's like we just can't, you know, we just can't always be there every time the doors are open. And part of that for us is just geography. So
I'll say this. I teach a class called Discover You. And there are great resources. I'm saying it now so I don't forget. But if you go to perimeter.org/discoveryou, there are great resources as relates to mission. But one of the resources is an assessment on discovering your evangelism style, your outreach style. So there are six styles. Mark Middleberg did this with Becoming a Contagious Christian. And the styles are intellectual, direct, relational. I may not be able to remember all of them. Mm-hmm. Serving, invitational, and I'm missing one. But anyway, I think for me, the perimeter culture is very much, we're an intellectual bunch, really talking about verbalizing the gospel, verbalizing our faith. And I just felt like, I think my style is much more relational, much more serving, invitational, and it didn't feel like it was a fit here at Perimeter, and it didn't, I just felt like I was doing it wrong for a long time. And then I just thought, you know what, I just need to be who I am and do it the way that God, that we feel comfortable. And so we started seeing fruit in that. And, you know, just a quick example, when we first moved into our neighborhood, we said we're going to try to meet people, pray for people that we meet, get to know them, get to know their names, and maybe for the first year or so, we're not going to invite anyone to church. We're not going to initiate a spiritual conversation, but we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to begin to do a work. And God has done a work through that. Now, that wasn't necessarily an approach that I was hearing at Perimeter, the culture, or most churches. I mean, most churches would say, well, if you do that, you're social gospel. I think if you get the gospel, God's grace, and you're motivated by that, it's not a social gospel because deep down you want them to know the love of Jesus. But all that to say, yeah, definitely. I think we all look at each other. That's the thing. We look at other people and we go, I should be more like that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start there, because I think it's somewhat important for us to hear that from one another and for y'all to hear that from staff as well, right? And so Laura's been on staff, Polly's been on staff with youth ministry for several years, and that, you know, feeling like you're supposed to fit the mold of, you know, the way somebody else does it is pretty common, and it's kind of contagious. We tend to kind of give that to one another. We know that we need to be doing, right? Jesus goes so far as to say, hey, right, in Matthew 25, right? In the judgment, the way Jesus is talking, he's saying, hey, I'm going to separate those who are mine and those who are not. Those who are mine will be marked by care for the widow, care for the oppressed, care for the refugee or sojourner, right? Refugee, sojourner, same thing. The poor, right? All these things. That's how you'll be marked if you're God's people. So that's pretty heavy, right? That's a big deal. We know that we're called to more than just, right, sit in church, hear some nice words, go home. Sit in church, hear some nice words, go home. But how that plays out often in our lives is that we're not really internalizing the gospel, right? We're just feeling pressure to look like somebody else, to measure up, right? To make maybe to make God pleased with us when Christ has done that work already. And so what we want to talk about is what it looks like to serve together from a heart that's embracing the gospel, embracing Christ's work and what he's done already on our behalf, and just walking that out together with our kids. So what did that look like? Drew, you began talking a little bit about what that looked like for you and for your family to just be you, right? To find your niche missionally, so to speak. How about this? What did it look like for you to find that? Maybe it was just time. And then once you found it, what was it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Clear as mud?
I'll start by saying, you know, mission and outreach can be, they can be words that can just be so heavy. Like, I know I should be doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. I feel guilty. Everything you just said. But as I'm thinking about this, there's two words that come to my mind that really fuel this. The first is that we're passionate for the gospel. Mm-hmm. That we not only know the gospel, but that we have experienced rescue. I mean, if I had to summarize the gospel in one word, it would be rescue. Mm-hmm. You know, we have been rescued. So now I have an experience. I don't just know it, I experience it. But then the second part that I think fuels mission and evangelism is desperation. So being passionate and being desperate. And in the same way that Jesus looked over the crowds and just had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And God does that in us. I can't make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not experiencing that, if we're not experiencing that, there are plenty of times I go dry and I don't want anything to do with anybody. And I just got to go, God, I'm not desperate right now. I'm not passionate right now. I need you to do something.
Yeah.
I think, so for me personally, I have a background in sales. I was in sales for 5 years before God led me into ministry. And so interacting with people, I mean, it always just comes natural, you know. And I think so many of the things that we're good at, we don't know that we're good at them because they're just natural to us. We don't realize it's just who we are. But I kind of had this territory mindset in sales. I had a territory in Atlanta, and just I owned that territory. So for me, when we moved into Sugar Hill in our neighborhood, and I was on staff at the church, and Laura was or had been, and like, okay, work is not going to be my place of mission, but our neighborhood, you know, this is our territory. And so for me, that it just became a territory mindset. And just like I would go out and make cold calls in my sales territory, I just said, all right, I'm making cold calls to my neighbors and just trying to start to sow seeds and build relationships and see where it goes. So,
I love what you said before also. Just we had Young Families Weekend a few years back. Some of you may have been there. And I remember Drew brought up his cornhole boards, which were painted Florida colors, and so it didn't go over very well. And your fight, you around here.
People approach me because I need to be convinced.
That's right. Yes. And you brought your fire pit in and just talked about take the things that you love and turn them outward. Loved that thought. And then I remember you asked a question in that weekend of, like, what's it look like to be missional with your family? And we didn't have a great answer for that. So I'd love to dig into that. Deborah.
Yeah, I would say first, take advantage of that Young Families Weekend, because really,
well, technically we don't do it anymore. So,
well, that retreat.
Yeah, yeah.
That retreat. Yeah, yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, really take the time. I mean, that's a sweet time to plan for your family. But just to point out, Discover You is what. There were a lot of things that I tried. So as an introvert, I found my niche in a juvenile detention center doing one-on-one ministry with youth because I had one person. It wasn't overwhelming. It was literally one person. But when I went through Discover You, it's not just another class, but it really helped me to be able to say no to seemingly good things and not feel guilty. Because I discovered that God had designed me, like Drew was saying, with natural things that I love to do and I get a lot of joy from, but I thought I couldn't use those for missions. Like I thought I had to do something radical or big or really time consuming. I had to like move to another city or something for it really to matter to God. But when I went through Discover You, I realized He made me for a purpose and I'm responsible for stewarding myself to that purpose. And so it may not be the same as Drew's or Polly's, but He's made me for that purpose. And one of the things, the top thing that kept coming up was hospitality. And so my life verse is pursuing hospitality. And what does that look like? So for our family, what my husband and I and my 12-year-old daughter pray for all the time is that the Lord would bring people to come and live in our home with us. Be very careful what you pray for, because our initial prayer is my prayer was, Lord, bring us laughter in our house and footsteps on our stairs. And so initially I was like, God's calling us to foster and adopt, Todd. I swear that's what it is. Well, all of a sudden we got this like revolving door of 18 to 26 year olds coming through the house. And I was like, okay, this is not, because I can't background check all of them and I never know how long they're staying. And so like, this is not working for my plan to foster and adopt, which I'm doing for God. But it turns out that when God brings these young people to our home, they're often trying to figure out what God has in store for them. But at the same time, it's a life on life, like discipling. My husband and I get to model for these young adults what a Christ-centered marriage looks like, even when we argue and fight and we're disciplining our daughter. Our daughter gets the opportunity in that childlike way to just share the gospel and push that forward, but also learn from these young adults that come to live with us that life may be a little different for everyone. Not everyone comes from the same family network or economic network. So that has been really, really transforming. I would say, when you see the things coming from community outreach, I hope that you know our role is to help you discover your spot. Mm. We're going to give you a buffet. We're going to offer a buffet because not everybody's the same.
Yeah.
But it's not to guilt you into coming and doing our thing. My hope is that you'll do what Laura does. You'll say, I don't need those community outreach things anymore because me and my family, we've got our thing. But our hope is that you'll come and you'll taste and you'll try and you'll see how good God is for using how he's made you. And that'll give you such great joy. You're like, we're doing this all the time. But it doesn't have to be through us. So that's just what I would say. Because, you know, when we bring people into our home, we say a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. Because we might have a midnight session of crying about whatever that keeps us up all night. So the next night we have to cancel on something. Mm. So it just is what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I will say the community outreach buffet has served our family very well. Mm. It's sort of just plug and play. You show up. It gives you a taste of a successful serving experience. At least it has for us, so that's been good. I would speak to the niche thing, but I'm sensitive to what somebody over here shared just about saying no to your hobbies. And kind of just when you're in this phase of life, when you have young kids, it's like, well, maybe necessarily you don't really know what your niche is right now. Yeah. Or you don't, if you know what your niche is, maybe you don't have the time to flesh it out and to really live it. And that can be frustrating. So I would just say, hang in there, that your life will look different. At some point, it probably will. Your kids won't be as clingy one day if they're super clingy now. You will be able to see again kind of what God has inspired you to do as just a person and maybe as a couple. But in the meantime, this is a very elementary thing compared to what they just said, so just bear with me. I like to think of it with spaghetti or waffles, okay? So if you're thinking with a waffle mindset, you're like, okay, I got school, we got sports, we got church, we got missions. Okay, box, 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 box. Well, if you're spaghetti, it's all kind of wrapped up together, right? So living missionally and serving can be happening all the time if you're just embracing this spaghetti life, okay? So don't just think, okay, I have to check this mission serving box, okay? Here's what we do. The other day we were at the dry cleaners, and my dry cleaner is Indian, and she was telling me that she's Hindu, and so I just took a minute, and normally I just grab my husband's clothes and we're out, and I'm like, huh, Hinduism. Thinking my boys are in the back. I'm like, they don't know what that is. They don't know about reincarnation. They don't, you know. So I was just like, Jay, you're meaning to tell me, like, you really believe that, like, when you die, you'll come back as something else? And she's like, oh, yes, absolutely I do. I was like, will you explain? Tell me more. I'd love to hear more about just your faith, and I'm interested in you. And my boys are like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, let's go, you know? But I've just had a moment where I said, where I'm like, we see her every week. She clearly is different. She believes different. And I want to start a conversation in front of her because I want my boys to start a conversation one day with people who are not like them as well and who have different beliefs. So even just not feeling like we have to do a service project in order to be missional, but just right there in the middle of the dry cleaners. Mm. Tell me more about your faith. Why do you believe that? Mm-hmm. It's just a different approach.
Yeah, that's great. And that reminds me of a conversation that Deborah and I had when we were, you know, going through, I don't remember if this was spring or early summer, but we were talking about what it looks like for young families to serve, et cetera. And you were talking about having a conversation with your kids in the grocery store. That kind of branches us into the next thought of bringing kids along. Well, tell me a little about that.
It's exactly what Polly said. Like, don't think about even what we do, because, you know, obviously we did that with Lindsay when she was little. But even in the grocery store, you know, when you're in Publix and it says the food for sharing, you know, I take a moment to talk to Lindsay about that. You know, we go to Publix, it's buy one, get one free, or I have coupons. And we talk about how some kids don't have food in their home and what that looks like, and praying for those children. So it's an opportunity to kind of weave all the things that you want to do with your kids, the praying and all that. But even with our dry cleaner, like we went to Dairy Queen and got one of those, I don't know, those ones you turn over and if it falls out, you get it for free.
The Blizzard. It's a life changer.
And we got one for our dry cleaner, and Lindsay was, yeah. So Lindsay's always like, Lord, please help the. But anyways, we went and picked one up and then went to get the dry cleaning, and she's like, why are you doing that? I was like, well, in the dry cleaner, it's really hot, and they can't turn on the air conditioning, and we really love Chris, so we're going to swing by, and our gentleman is Korean. And so anyways, we bring the shake through, and she's still in the back like, why would we do this? And we're like, we love him. Like, we come here every single week, and we want to serve and love him and pray for him. He and his wife just had a baby. And she's like, how do you know all that? I'm like, because we care about all the people that God made, you know? And so, yeah, and talking about in the grocery store, it's an opportunity. So if you've got kids in the cart and you're like, I know, it's so chaotic. I get it. I know I'm past that, and like you forget, God makes you lose all those memories, but it is chaotic. But you can take a moment and say, you know what, this is just a great opportunity to pray for those kids who maybe don't have any food or their parents really struggle, because obviously my daughter, not in that moment, but we see people come through with their SNAP benefits and they're negotiating with a cashier to figure out what things they can actually purchase. Mm-hmm. We'll go to the car and I'll say, do you understand what happened in front of us? That family really wasn't able to get that thing. That's why the cashier had to take it off. I was like, and we just take a moment to pray. So there's all kinds of opportunities just in your day to day that you can pray with your kids, talk about things with your kids that they see all the time. And I don't know, I'm just like you guys. Sometimes I get busy and I just don't. But it's so important because they're seeing things and often they don't understand or how that connects to what God has for us.
Yeah. I wish that we had the photos because it was sweet to see. I feel like, you know, there were pictures of Lindsay as she grew up. And yes. I remember going on service projects over the years and just seeing like, oh, she's
So my personal passion is child sex trafficking. And you can imagine as a mother. So when we first got involved, Lindsay was in the infant room. She was 6 months old. And I literally, So all growing up, it's all her growing up. It's been my passion. So, of course, I never tell her what it is. But at the very basic level, I tell her that God created all people with dignity and purpose, and that no people should be for sale. No people are a commodity. So she did. One of my pictures was her in a little No Kids for Sale shirt with her little stuffed animal kitty. She went with us everywhere. I mean, she went to the Piedmont Park, the Freeze Project, the concerts, the bowling. She went everywhere. She didn't need to know. They don't understand all the details, but at the very basic level, they know that they're hungry. They know that they're free, you know, that they're free to do what they want. They know that they have a home to live in. They know that they're warm, and you all provide for them in many, many ways that often other kids aren't. They have a family. Some children don't even have a family. And not to scare them or terrorize them, but to, in a gentle way, share that their lives are often different than other children's lives, and God loves those children and made those children and wants the same good things and has purposes for those kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that because I know there are a lot of folks with very little ones in here and a lot in our, you know, sort of demographic here at the church, very little kids. So just utilizing those conversations when you're in the grocery store, et cetera, could be huge. So.
And not to give a plug, but in the back we have books. If you read books to your kids at night, just swapping out one of your books for a book like one of the books that we have, or even if you pray before you go to bed, just sliding in a prayer for those kids who maybe don't have a bed to sleep in.
Yeah.
It's just that raising up. It's nothing extraordinary or, you know, time could like you going out on a rainy Wednesday night. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's those it is literally the building blocks that you're building in for your kids.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
Well, hey, so we also had pictures of the Pope boys hanging out and serving a little bit at Fully Furnished. Tell me a little bit about what does that look like for y'all to get plugged in there? How'd you get connected to that ministry? You know, just love that there is something that fairly little ones can jump into.
So Fully Furnished, for those of you that might not know, is formerly Movers and Shakers. And so a couple years ago, the chairman of the board asked me to essentially come in and maybe help just give a little bit of a facelift and try to appeal not just to men lifting furniture and taking it into people's homes, but appeal to the whole family. So having a young family, I thought, well, this is where we are. So if you were asking me how I would want to get involved and bring my family into a ministry like Fully Furnished, here are sort of the things that would appeal to me. So I just kind of fleshed that out with him, and they said, all right, let's try to incorporate it. So they evolved from Movers and Shakers into Fully Furnished, and the concept of the whole thing is basically if you have an extra coffee table, extra bed, extra whatever piece of furniture that you're done with, you call them up, they'll come pick it up, they'll pray with you, they'll take it to their warehouse, and every Saturday, every Saturday to every other Saturday based on how many needs they have that week. They'll load up the trucks and take it to a family in need or to Rainbow Village or a certain home that, maybe these people are not homeless anymore. They might be living in an apartment, but they're still sleeping on the floor, or their kitchen table is the counter in the kitchen. You know, it's just that they don't have just the essentials. So typically Movers and Shakers years ago, they would drop off a bed, a mattress, but it stopped there. So how Fully Furnished has evolved it is there's two sorts of teams here. There's a hands team for the men and the teenage boys who can lift furniture, lift mattresses, load it from the warehouse onto the truck, and then take it into the homes once they arrive to the site. That's the hands team. A hearts team is there, and these are typically the women or younger children where they will think, what are the special touches? They need sheets. They need pillows. They need bedding. I mean, they're sleeping on donated mattresses. They're donated for a reason, right? Probably because they're gross. So people don't want to sleep on them, okay? Yeah. So there's bedding. So here's what it looked like when my boys went in. A couple Saturdays, a few months ago, we went in, and there's a linens room. So we're standing in a huddle, and the guy in charge says, here's who we're serving today. We're serving the Ramirez family, okay? The Ramirez family has a mother and two sons. So what we need is a bed for the mother and bed and bedding for the two sons. So I say, okay, how old's one of the sons? 7 years old. Okay, I have a seven-year-old. So we go back to the linen closet and we say, okay, what kind of bedding do you think the seven-year-old would want? Okay, there's flowers, there's polka dots, there's all this. And we find just a very nice, plain, basic, navy bedspread. So he's like, this, you know, this looks like my bedspread. Let's get this. All right, well, he needs pillows. So the little man grabs a pillow. Okay, well, he needs, what about an accent pillow? Something kind of fun. Okay, grab a pillow with stripes. All right, you just created a bed for a little boy your age who's been sleeping on the floor. My boys, we were there probably, I don't know, Dave, 45 minutes, an hour. It did not take all morning. You would have thought that they, like, changed America. I mean, they just were walking higher that day. They got donuts on the way out. We prayed for the families together. And then from there, the men took the trucks and delivered it. And we were done. But it was just, it was awesome. I would say if you have a toddler, it's not the place. I mean, it's a warehouse, you're moving furniture, all that. But if your kids can follow three-step instructions, Maddie, go get a pillow, walk with Dad, take it to the truck. Then they can help. They can serve there. So it was a cool experience for
us.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. How about y'all? What does it look like to bring your kids along in thinking, doing, missionally, et cetera?
Grace, come here.
You're putting everybody on the spot today, huh?
Tearing up from Polly's comments.
Yeah.
I think that is, you know, just finding things that you can do with your kids. And I know that, you know, the stay-at-home... Yeah, as a stay-at-home mom, being home with the kids, I've always just kind of looked for different opportunities that I can do with them that doesn't require, like, total exhaustion on my part. And, in the beginning when Grace, I remember when she was little and her running around in an oversized Unite t-shirt that we had tied up around her waist and everything, when we were doing just neighborhood food drives were an easy thing to do. They were able to collect the food in the neighborhood and then take it to the co-op and talk about, there are some people that don't have a lot of food and they need to come here and this is where they come. And they got to see where the food was stocked and everything else. I remember as Grace got a little bit older, being in public school system, talking about the free and reduced lunch, issues. And at her school, there were like 47% of the kids were on free and reduced lunch. And I said, so basically that's about half, like one out of every two kids are on free and reduced. Well, which ones? She wanted to know which ones. I'm like, I don't know which ones. She's very concerned about which ones they were. But, I think that a couple of years later, when Grace was a little bit older and Micah was probably around three or four, Community Outreach in their summer serving guide had an opportunity to help with a bookmobile out of Beaver Ridge Elementary, off Beaver Ruin Road.
Yeah.
And so we signed up to help with that in the summer and took the kids. We went to the school. We picked up crates of books. We went and set them up in an apartment complex, and kids came and checked out books. We had sidewalk chalk and bubbles and bouncy balls and stuff like that, and just hung out with the kids. I'm like, I can do this with the kids. This is, it was a couple of hours on a Monday morning or something like that. And as I was doing that, I thought, we could do this at our school, in our neighborhood. And so that led to talking with the principals at Sugar Hill Elementary. And for the past four summers, we've done a bookmobile out of Sugar Hill in a couple of different government housing project communities that are up in our area. And it's been a great way for us to continue to stay connected in our community and engaged with the needs of people there. So I've always just kind of looked for what's going to work with our timing and where the kids are at. Micah is, and I did ask him this morning, I said, can I talk? Is it okay if I talk with you about you if they ask anything? And he's in Kids Quest. He thought this would be too boring. And not this summer, but last summer, he was diagnosed with dyslexia. And it was at that point that we ended up moving him here to Perimeter School has a special program for kids with dyslexia. And we had started last year volunteering with Path Project, which is an organization that works in trailer parks, mobile home parks, trying to help kids pave a way to high school graduation, which ultimately will lead them on to more opportunities in life. And it's a faith-based organization, and there's a Path Project that works out of Peachtree Village, which is about 6 or 7 minutes from our house. And so we started volunteering there with their homework club on Thursday afternoons. And for the first hour, kindergarten through second grade comes, and they bring their homework. They can't come unless they have their homework. The kids come, and we divide them up into small groups, and we help them finish their homework for the week. And then the second hour is a little bit older kids. And Micah, there was a lot of pushback and resistance in the beginning, but about halfway through the year, I snapped a picture of him and texted it to Drew. It was a picture of him as a third grader reading and listening to a kindergartner read to him. And reading had been such a struggle for him, but it's been fun to see him overcome some of that. And this year, this past week, I told Micah, he wasn't with me. And I said, so I was working with Junior, this little Hispanic boy, on his sight words. And he knows about two of his sight words. And he's supposed to know about 200 by this point. And I said, so what I did, and I explained to him what I did. And he's like, no, Mom, you did it all wrong. And he told me how, what he's learning here and the tools that he's learning to help him with his reading. And I said, see, that's why we need you to come to PATH, because most of the kids there are really struggling with their reading, and you can be helpful. He's like, okay, Mom, I'll go next week. And, so just finding ways as they get older, they do have opinions and they do have interests, and, finding ways to help them connect as well.
So. All right. So we're just about at noon, and I want to respect your time here. So let me tell you a couple things. First of all, grab a magnet on your way out. These are on your table. This is our entire year's worth of events that are going on. And so we got a lot of fun stuff going here. And so as I say that as well, on your way out, Deborah has set up all kinds of awesome resources on this table back here. The buffet, right? Buffet. Yeah. So, go sample some things on the buffet, right? We want to try to make this as simple as possible. Some of it can be as simple as just the conversations you're having with your kids, right? But then there's some great opportunities to plug into some stuff. I'm assuming that they could probably tag along with some of y'all sometimes if you're serving it fully furnished or something along those lines. And so we just want you to we want there to be super easy on ramps for this. Okay, so we'll try to get the word out of if there's a Saturday sometime when folks are going to Fully Furnished or different things along those lines. We'll include that in monthly email. If you're not getting the monthly emails, by the way, drop us a line, youngfamilies@perimeter.org. Just say you want to be added to the list. You should be getting every month, just because you're a young family here at Perimeter, an email with a little video from me just kind of going down what's happening for the month. So if you're not getting that, you want to be on it, then email us. So grab some resources on the way out. Grab a magnet. Be sure to grab this as well for your date night, all right? Your little well-known booklet. Christy Ambule is actually here as well. And so if you're interested in Connect Group stuff that I mentioned at the beginning, Christy will be at one of these back tables here. Talk to her about that, right? Whether you're just interested in plugging into a Connect Group or you think, hey, maybe we could host one, right? Ask her about what that would look like. So, y'all, super thankful for you coming this morning. Drew, you too, even though you dipped out, man. You're out of this. Let me pray for us, and we'll get out of here. Lord, we're so thankful that you have chosen to love us. We don't bring anything to the table. We are spiritually bankrupt, and yet you have loved us in Christ Jesus. And so we long to be those who are blessed so that we might be a blessing. Would you do that through us? Would you do that through these families that are represented here? Lord, would we have stories in years to come of ways that you worked, that you loved these communities surrounding us through these families in this room, that would just drop our jaws with awe at who you are and what you do. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the Popes, the Warners, the Potters as they leave this place. Lord, they have blessed us. And so we pray that you continue your work in and through them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.